And then he started crying and he said, they said if I say anything, they'd kill me or my family.
The men that Diane's talking about is Michael Boehner, Richard Boehner, and Lou Coles. And they are the men that were actually at the scene of Jacob's abduction. And Lou Coles is the one that took him.
There was a guy that came to town, was friends with Jerry Wetterling. He was from Wisconsin. He was a pedophile. And he said Jerry told him to meet me at a motel to hear the tape. And I thought, well, why wouldn't he come?
The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. But there is a person there that takes information from called in tips and so on. And then he goes ahead and sends the information to the appropriate parties in law enforcement. And this man heard the abduction tape. His name is Richard Leonard. He heard the abduction tape and he was disturbed by it. And he encouraged Diane and I to keep pushing. And he had trouble getting outside assistance.
I think this is going to lead back to some really big stuff. And this stuff would lead back to Jerry. I don't think they want any of that. If this comes out, the money stops. Who knows?
Addiction affects millions of people, whether it's junk food, sugar, tobacco, pain medications, or alcohol. Most rehab and addiction programs do not work, and people relapse shortly after they stop. The Truth of Addiction has an answer to some of the toughest questions about addiction. There are many reasons why some people become addicted, but whatever the reason may be, the Truth of Addiction program uses evidence-based ways to help anyone overcome their urges, cravings, and some of the toughest addiction problems. The majority of people do not understand why an addict will do almost anything to obtain their drug of choice. Modern science has allowed researchers to understand addiction in a whole new light. It reveals biochemical and neurological explanations of addiction. This contradicts some aspects of most rehabs using a purely psychological or moral model of treatment. This program works on all types of addictions and can be done in the privacy of your own home. Help you or your loved ones end addiction. Click the link below to learn more. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This show, we are going to focus on the incredible story of Jacob Wetterling, an 11-year-old boy who was kidnapped and murdered in 1989 in St. Joseph, Minnesota. His case haunted the country and became one of the most highest-profile kidnappings in American history. For almost three decades, this case was unsolved, according to authorities, until recently a man named Danny Heinrich came forward and confessed to this grisly crime. The problem, according to my guest today, is he was not the real murderer, and authorities not only know this, they plan the fake confession, pointing to a major cover-up, widespread systematic corruption, and injustice to not only Jacob, but his family and our community. This all seems unbelievable and absurd until you start hearing the evidence around this case. Because this case is pretty complex and confusing, I created a list with extensive help from investigator Julia Tramp, one of my guests today, of the relevant players in this case. Included below is a link to this list so you can follow along during this interview. I highly recommend that you do this in order to make sense of the evidence being presented here. Before we get into this interview, here are some of the main players and details of the case that will give you an idea of what you will be presented in this interview. First, this is the beautiful little boy, Jacob Wetterling, who was abducted on October 22nd, 1989 from his hometown, St. Joseph, Minnesota. Here's his mother, Patty Wetterling. After Jacob's kidnapping, she ran for Congress twice and Senate once. She did not win, but she was endorsed by the Democratic Party. She was also the past chair of the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. His father, Jerry Wetterling, he allegedly is not his biological father, but we do have evidence showing that he adopted Jacob. He's a chiropractor in St. Joseph, Minnesota. Here's Danny Heinrich. He's the officially named kidnapper. Even though he was not officially charged for the crime, and documents show that his plea deal for his confession included 20 years for only one count of child pornography. They dropped the other 24 counts and did not charge him for the Jacob Wetterling kidnapping or murder in this plea deal. With good behavior, he will be out in 17 years. I believe this is one of the most suspicious pieces of evidence that we will be talking about today. Lou Coles. Lou Coles is believed to be the actual abductor of Jacob Wetterling, stated by the Boehner brothers and consistent with other collaborating evidence. This is Michael Boehner. He confessed on audio to Diane Muehlbauer, who is in this interview today, while wearing a wire. She was wearing a wire, and private investigator Larry Pert and officer Todd Newman were in another room listening to all this while he was confessing. Richard Boehner confessed to two inmates while in jail to his involvement to Jacob's abduction and murder. Vern Seitz, he's now deceased. This is a bombshell, I think. He offered to purchase audio confession from Diane Muehlbauer. He stated that Jerry Wetterling asked him to go in his place and listen to the audio confession. He is a serial pedophile, murderer, and he has many other nefarious activities. You can go to that list and it'll show you all the different stuff that they found, according to the warrants, that they found in his house after he died. It is pretty amazing. And why would Jerry Wetterling know this man? You'll hear more during this interview. Larry Pert, he's an independent investigator. He's now deceased as well. But he had investigated over 60 homicide cases, and he was hired by prosecutors and defendants for decades. He had an impeccable record. Nobody complained. His video testimony is available in writeintoaction.com, and Larry continued to help whenever possible on this case. He has alleged that Jerry Wetterling has failed multiple lie detector tests, and he also believes that the Boehner brothers were involved along with Lou Coles. You'll hear what they think today in this interview. Diane Muehlbauer, she's an independent researcher and retired bail bond agent who spent her time and her money researching the Wetterling case. She is one of the people I'm interviewing today. She has been collecting collaborating evidence along with other documentation for over the course of two decades. Diane wrote to various officials about this evidence and had an investigative reporter following her for many years. Julia Tremp, the other researcher that we'll have here on this show, is also an independent researcher from Ohio. She got involved after contacting Richard Leonard from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children when she thought a serial pedophile from Ohio looked like the composite sketch that was related to the Wetterling case. The sketch had been shown on The Hunt, which aired on TV in late August 2014. Although the pedophile could not be traced in the area, Julia continued to research his case and found Diane Muehlbauer's name and decided to call her. Julia suggested they reach out to Richard Leonard and sent some of the 1997 information and evidence to Diane, and Julia sent to him the appropriate parties in law enforcement. They have been working together ever since. Timothy Holmseth will also be joining us today, and he is a journalist and independent researcher. He has a lot of this information up on his website in the link below, writeintoaction.com. So you'll be able to go there and see the latest evidence that has just been released by the Minnesota authorities and all the different audio documents and stuff that we are talking about today, you will find there as well. Here are two other people worth noting. Richard Leonard from the NCMEC, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. He has suggested to Julia Tremp to reach out to both the Assistant Attorney General for the state of Minnesota, David Gingrich, and the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Minnesota, Julia Aleen. And he encouraged both Julia Tremp and Diane Muehlbauer, the people I'm talking to today, to keep on this story. He thinks it's worth their time and it's really relevant. Joe Persk, he is currently running for the Minnesota Senate for District 13. He spoke to Diane Muehlbauer and Julia Tremp and told Diane that five politicians are covering up for this Wetterling case. And he was worried about them and asked them if he feared for their safety. So I think this gives you a general overview before we get into this interview, but I really want to remind you to pull the list up from the link below on my website so you can go through it, have it in front of you as people are named. There's all sorts of names and it gets kind of confusing. You can tell I was confused at first, but I put this list together and now I got a pretty good idea of what is really going on here. And I think this list will be very helpful for you. And I highly recommend you pulling it up. But before we really get into this interview, I want to remind you of the free 9-part video cancer series that will start on October 10th. It is becoming an absolute epidemic in this country. 1 out of 2 men and 1 out of 3 women will get cancer in their lifetimes, according to the World Health Organization. But you have to know that this is not a death sentence. There are natural cures and many ways you can keep yourself from getting this disease. These known cures have been suppressed by the industry, and it was confirmed that it was suppressed by the U.S. Senate themselves in a report. Please sign up for this free video series with the link below. Put in your email. You will not be put on a bunch of spam lists. I know everybody hates to be put on mail lists, but please put your email in. You'll get a list of the schedule of the free videos. Also, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell everybody about this cancer series. It's becoming such an epidemic that if we don't get this word out, right now we have 8 million people dying a year from cancer. It'll just continue to grow as people stay ignorant about the truth. So please sign up for this today. Now, let's get into the interview with Diane Muehlbauer, Julia Tremp, and Timothy Holmeseth. Hi, thank you so much for joining me on this program today.
Great to be here, Professor Westall.
We have 3 people. We have Timothy Holmeseth, which many of you know, my listeners know. I've interviewed him a few times here already. And then we have a couple investigators joining because we're going to be talking about a very high-profile case that has been perplexing for these investigators and for many people out there. And we're going to be talking about the Jacob Wetterling case. And so we have investigator Julia Tremp and investigator Diane Muehlbauer. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, Muehlbauer. I don't want to mess up your name, Diane. So Muehlbauer. Okay.
Right.
I want to start with how you all got involved in this case. And because you've been investigating this for a couple decades now. And what I'm hearing is that what you've been coming up with, and there's been other investigators and people you've worked with, so we're going to talk about that, is not what the FBI or the local authorities have come up with. And there's a lot of strange anomalies on this case. So first, can you tell me, and maybe we'll start with Diane, how did you get involved in this case?
I was working down at the department as a bail bondsman. And I think I had a partner, we had an office downtown, and my partner, Robin, and Richard Boehner from prison had called Robin and said that his brother wanted to find somebody he could trust to talk to. So they asked Robin. And one night there was a knock at the door because Robin and I had paperwork to do. And it was Michael Boehner. Okay. And he said he's supposed to meet Robin there, that he needed to talk. Well, that night, he talked some about being in St. Joe, but he didn't know me, so he kind of was giving us different scenarios. Like he was there delivering papers, or he was, you know, or their car got stuck, you know, stuff like that. So then after that night, we had I think it was the first interview with Larry Pert. And he was kind of doing the same thing at first. And then he started crying and he said, they said, if I say anything, they'd kill me or my family.
Who said that? Larry Pert said that?
No, Michael Boehner.
He started
crying and he ran out of the house. And then it was really strange because Robin, she's got to have her nose in everything. Okay. All of a sudden she's out of this. And I kept talking to the Boehners on my own.
Okay, who's Robin again?
She was my old partner in bail bonding.
Okay.
She's deceased now. So, kind of what I found out was I continued with the Boehners. She was kind of out of it. But then I found out she was telling the sheriff everything. So that's how they knew what I was doing. I was harassed through all this. Michael Boehner said he was there when he was taken, And it was with his brother Richard and Lou Coles from Wisconsin. And he tells me everything, what happened. And this is after, it was almost a year. He looked at me and he said, I lied, I was there. And so I had to go to the jail. So I said, I'll pick you up tomorrow. We'll go to the house and talk. So I went to pick them up at the Tom Thumb. They weren't there. I looked across the street. There was two squad cars facing me. So I drove off and I went to the Boehner home and they came running out and saying their mother wouldn't let them out of the house. So I'm kind of thinking the mother got tipped off, but the mother's the type that will cover for these guys. Okay. It's a very, there's incest through the whole family, very dysfunctional.
Can we give a little overview first? The Boehners are the one that they confess to you that they did this, but they're not the ones that the Minnesota Sheriff's Office is claiming and who has been convicted of the crime.
Well, it just seemed like I couldn't get them to listen. When Larry took this tape in.
Wait a minute. I just want that to come. Because a lot of people are not completely, you're so immersed in this thing for so long. But we're talking to people who don't even really know who was convicted and what's really going on. So I want to take like a zoom out picture of it. And then come into the details, if that makes sense.
Should I jump in for a second, Sarah?
Yes.
In the Jacob Wetterling case, the final disposition of it was a man named Danny Heinrich. He confessed to it, but he was not charged with it. And so his name was Danny Heinrich. The man that Diane's talking about is Michael Boehner, Richard Boehner, and Lou Coles. And they are the men that were actually at the scene of Jacob's abduction. And Lou Coles is the one that took them. And if anybody really wants to hear like what Diane's talking about, if they go to my website, writeintoaction.com, the very top story has, they go to it. There's actually links and they can listen to Diane's recorded interviews where you hear these confessions, you hear them talk about it.
So you actually, Diane, have these guys confessing on tape.
Michael Boehner.
Michael.
Wow. I have Michael.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And the sheriff didn't care.
Okay. I didn't take it to the sheriff. I was dealing mainly with Dave Noner down there.
Who is he?
He's a detective. He was a lieutenant at the time. And we called the meeting later because they weren't doing anything. I was dealing with another detective they would send out to my home. But he wasn't investigating. He was telling me what they were doing. So he didn't trust it.
Oh, so he didn't, even the detective with them didn't trust the story that they were coming up with.
Well, that came later. But on my stuff, he couldn't get them to listen. And he said that he'd come out, but yet he'd go back to the department and they'd keep saying, what'd she say? What'd she say? You know?
So they just didn't take it seriously. Now,
right.
They didn't even bother listening, which was weird, even though the person who confessed has a track record of this, right?
Right.
Now, was there evidence that ties him to this crime?
Okay. The last meeting I called there, Dave Noner got nervous and he said, well, I can't rule these guys out. I don't know where they were that night. And I have a witness to that.
Okay, so they confessed. You can't rule it out. Is there any kind of evidence that they were there besides confessing and not having an alibi? Is there any evidence in the crime scene or anything?
Well, they said Lou Coles took them. Lou Coles burnt his vehicle. Brenda Boehner was in on it, and she said because all the evidence was in it.
Was in the vehicle.
Can I interject a little bit here?
Yes, we need to get to you, Julia. And I'm sorry, I want to know how you got involved as well, but interject on this and then we can circle back to how you got involved.
Okay, there was a witness there, Ben Bina, who saw Boehner brothers in the ditch. So there is a eyewitness that saw the Boehners in the ditch that night of the abduction. And there were two other witnesses that saw Lou Cole's burgundy vehicle heading towards the abduction site that night, moments before the boys were taken.
Okay, so we do have enough evidence to say this is probably a legitimate deal. Now, the story that the local people came up with, there's so many problems for me when I'm hearing this. The forensic evidence shows that the bones they found are not human, which anybody with a brain would have a problem with that.
Correct.
And then the other thing that is strange is the person that they convicted of the crime, what is his name?
Daniel Heinrich.
He didn't get any time, and he got time shaved off what he should have gotten on his other offenses.
He got rewarded for confessing
to this.
Well, right. If he was savior, he would get out in 17 years. And he was not charged with the murder or the abduction of Jacob Wetterling. He was charged for child pornography. And out of the 25 counts of child pornography, 24 counts were removed. So he was offered a plea deal that is very controversial, almost historical, I guess would be the word for it. And
it's very strange.
It doesn't make any sense. His story, his transcript wasn't lining up with what the findings were on the warrants. On the warrants, it says no human remains. On the one dated August 31st, 2016, the one dated September 2nd, 2016 is saying apparent bones. And what's in the warrants isn't lining up with his transcript story. And what the, you know, between the two, there's inconsistencies throughout.
And one of them being the bones aren't human.
Correct.
Because that to me is a bombshell. The other thing that is very strange to me is the Wetterlings' behavior, because they have kept a whole bunch of files out, which the court now said that they have to release them. And I want to talk about those files a little bit. But their behavior seemed, it doesn't line up with the behavior of the press conference. Because during the press conference, they're saying that the detectives did a poor job, pretty much incompetency. But yet the Wetterlings want to cover stuff up. That would be something they want to shout off the rooftops that there's incompetency. Right?
Right. Well, if they're concerned, especially if they're concerned that that's happening. And what I find disturbing is in the news reports, one of the reports said that there's a private citizen out there with evidence or information pertaining to the Wetterling case, but they deem that this evidence is not credible. But yet you have the sheriff saying, talking and discussing about the incompetency of his staff and the staff that was there in the earlier years of the investigation, which would have been Kostreba, which is a time where Diane Eubauer and Larry Pert brought this to the attention of the sheriff's office. Okay, would that be the incompetent staff that deemed her information not credible? So why is he telling on himself? Why is he telling the world the staff was incompetent, but the papers are putting in there that this incompetent staff found that Diane Muehlbauer's information was not credible.
Let's get to the Larry Pert. Now, he was an investigator. He's done over 60 different homicides, and in every single case that he's done, he had an impeccable reputation.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I did his bail bonding for him.
Okay. So he had an impeccable reputation. He's done many, many cases. And then suddenly he's not competent here. Okay. So what did Larry Pert come up with? Because he has recently deceased, but you have all this on video of him talking about it.
Right.
And he came up with a lot of conclusions. Can you share with what Timothy, is that video up on your website now?
Yeah, it's on my BitChute account. If you go to my website and click on the BitChute link, it'll take you there. And yeah, it's one of my videos amongst my BitChute videos.
Okay. So what did he come up with? What will they find in that that's pertinent? And for people who are maybe new to this, they might not be able to get all the nuances that he's saying as well. So can you sum up what will they find in that that's relevant?
Well, pretty much all of it. He believed all of it. I mean, about Michael and Richard confessed to two inmates when he was in prison, and they called me and they told me the same thing. He told them what they did with Jacob, and then he said they dismembered him and threw him in the river.
And okay, Larry Pert was found that the Boehner characters are the ones that did it.
Yes.
And he also found that the sister was involved, right?
They took him to their sister's house in a sleeping bag.
Okay. Now, they were scared that somebody was going to kill them if he told. Now,
right.
Who was going to kill them if he told?
I don't know, but I kind of suspect cult activity in this.
Is that what Larry thought as well?
Well, he really didn't say too much about that, but I have a tape here that nobody has heard because I haven't taken it in there because I don't trust him.
And what's on that tape?
This guy is claiming he was sacrificed on the tape, and I didn't know what to make of it, so I never took it in.
And what do you believe, the files that were just released, what were the Wetterlings trying to cover up there? Who were they trying to protect? What's in there that's so private?
Well, you got Michael Boehner saying the dad paid Lou to get rid of him, and in a couple, some of the other tapes, and then
get rid of Jacob.
Jacob.
The dad paid, so Michael Boehner is claiming in your tape on audio
right.
that the dad paid to get rid of Jacob.
He said, I think the dad put Lou up to it. And at that time in Wisconsin, I have a woman I talked to there, Lou's old neighbor. He showed up with a lot of money at that time. And then he burnt his vehicle. Him and his lover, Dennis from St. Joe, they burnt the vehicle. And his ex-wife said, I think they're hiding some.
Okay, so is that all on your tape that you have listed on your website, Timothy?
The part about the sacrifice is not.
But
no.
The dad being involved, is that up there?
No.
Okay, so that's all on the tape that you haven't released.
Yeah, that's what she has not released that.
Okay. Are you willing to...
That's the confession tape that he says that. Don't you have
yeah.
that?
In the end, he says, I think the dad put Lou up to it. Yes.
And so that is in the tape.
Right.
That's in the tape, but not on the one that we posted publicly, because we didn't want to put that information out there regarding the father because of obvious issues that it could cause. So that part was left out for the public, for the public posting, but that was not left out on the tape that was taken to Stearns County.
See, they talked to Michael, I noticed, but they never transcribed what was said on the tape. They said, well, we asked Michael and he lied and told him there's a tape out there. He said he didn't know there was, but that's it. They didn't do anything with it. So when Larry took this tape into them, I believe it was Chuck Olson, and Larry said he swore at him, said, I don't want to hear any effing crap out of your mouth, Pert, because he believed it was Rassier. A lot of egos down here.
Well, this is a bigger deal. It's not, people are probably going to get angry that we're still talking about a family that lost their child, but this is a bigger thing than a single child or family. This is a system that we're looking at. We're looking at a bigger picture, a problem with
right.
an area. We're looking at a bigger problem. And so it's not just about one murder and one person. It's the cover-up that I'm concerned about. And right. that points to a bigger problem. Now, my thing is, when you've been going through those documents, what are you finding that is, I mean, I still don't understand why they kept them secret. I don't understand. What is in there that they would have kept secret?
Well, you know, there was a guy that came to town, was friends with Jerry Wetterling. He was from Wisconsin. He was a pedophile. And he said Jerry told him to meet me at a motel to hear the tape. And I thought, well, why wouldn't he come? You know, very strange. And then
they have friends in there that they interviewed who probably have a past of pedophilia.
Right, right, right. And Larry felt like there was a pedophiles going to that home. And I gave Patty three of these tapes back in, I'd say somewhere 99, 2000. I never heard a word about them.
She didn't say anything. She didn't even care that somebody confessed.
I guess not, because I never got called in. I never got talked to. The one tape was the abduction tape. Then you got the Bambina tape.
So Patty Wetterling knew this guy confessed. The detective and the office knew that he confessed, and nobody talked to him about it?
Or obviously. When I talked to Patty's friend about a month ago, I said, well, Cleone, I gave Patty three tapes, and the last one is Brenda Boehner, where she said she lied to the police because she was scared. She said Richard was at the grandma's in Painesville, and he wasn't.
So
I gave her those three.
How many people confessed?
Well, Michael confessed to me. Richard confessed to two inmates. Luke Coles was talking to the lady up in Wisconsin, said he had been to the Wetterling house. He knew the Wetterlings.
And then this Brenda, and then the sister, did she confess to somebody?
No, but she admitted that Jacob was there at her house.
Okay, so we have four different people that are collaborating a story, and
they did
not do the research into it, and no, and Patty just dismissed it from what we understand.
Well, look at it. You got to figure she's holding these three tapes, and they're going after Rassier, knowing this stuff's down there. What'd they do with this all these years? I think they hid it.
They kept pursuing an innocent man year after year after year.
Yeah.
Wrecked his whole life.
And this man that they pursued, what is his name?
Dan Rassier.
And did he have any previous involvement with pedophilia or anything?
No.
Why did they harass him? Why did they think he was involved?
I don't even know.
Didn't they park in his driveway? Wasn't it his?
Well, they tried to say there was a car in his driveway. Well, Julie and I went out there last summer. You can't park a car there unless the kids see it.
So basically, they had very little evidence on him, while they had a whole pile on the other people.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's what's so strange about this.
And they still went after this innocent man.
Right. Right. For years. It's like they were looking for a fall guy or some.
But why would they not? Why, if they went after these Boehner characters, do you think they'd start talking about a bigger thing? They wanted them quiet.
Yes.
They didn't want to dig into that, because what kind of ties, if you did more investigation, what kinds of things did they have going on?
Who, the Boehners?
Yes.
Well, after the Jacob thing, they were molesting a seven-year-old boy for 7 years. I believe that was in, not Clearwater. What's the next one? Anyway.
That police report is on my website.
Okay, but now, besides individual molestation, which is terrible, you wouldn't hide an individual case like that. You would be hiding something bigger. Was there any indication of them doing, you know, recruiting boys for others or doing any kind of trafficking ring activity?
I think there was a pedophile ring there. I mean, I don't have any proof of it, but something was going on big.
Larry Pear talked about, if you listen to his interview that I have posted on BitChute, he talks about, he actually says the specific people, and then he says, like, so-and-so works such-and-such interstate corridor and truck stops. Like, Larry was so astute at what he was doing that he could tell you which person worked the interstate and truck stops. Like their pedophilia and their child trafficking thing was a system.
Okay, that's what I'm looking for. Okay. So if the investigators really wanted to dig into this, they could find, I mean, this was a gold mine for them.
Sure.
Okay. So it's a travesty of justice that they ignored this and they didn't even look into it. The weird part is the Wetterlings didn't either. Now, over your course of investigating, why was there other strange behavior by the Wetterlings that put up some red flags?
Well, I met Jerry one time in his office, and I went with the lady that worked for him for 10 years, and I was trying to tell him, you need to look at this, and he was kind of ignoring me, talking to her, you know, and he sits back with his hands behind his head, and I said, you need to really listen to this. Finally, he says, oh, Diane, I'm sure other Diane's brought stuff in. I said, did they bring in a confession? And then he didn't want to talk no more.
Okay, this is his child, right? Yeah. I mean, this is their child that's missing.
Huh. Well, that's what I'm saying. None of the reactions fit the crime here.
Larry talks about that, too. During the interview that you can see of Larry, he talks about a bizarre reaction of Patty Wetterling. I can't remember exactly how it went. Maybe Julie can explain it.
When they flew Sigafoos in, Patty was concerned and didn't want this information turned into Stearns County because she was concerned for the reputation of the foundation.
How would that hurt the foundation?
Well, maybe she knew more than we knew why it would hurt the foundation.
And why would she be?
She had obviously had a reason herself. I mean, their behaviors are exactly as you said, strange. But when I got involved in late 2014, you might as well say early 2015, because Diane and I started talking Christmas week of 2014, I suggested that we involve NCMEC. They are not an investigative agency, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. But there is a person there that takes information from called in tips and so on. And then he goes ahead and sends the information to the appropriate parties in law enforcement. And this man heard the abduction tape. His name is Richard Leonard. He heard the abduction tape and he was disturbed by it. And he encouraged Diane and I to keep pushing. And he had trouble getting outside assistance.
Okay, now who is this man? What is his position?
He was assigned to the Jacob Wetterling case at NCMEC. And he was trying to help. He was trying to get this information looked at.
He found it relevant.
Yes.
So if he's pushed, I mean, as late as 2 weeks ago, he's telling us to continue to follow up with the U.S. Attorney's Office for the state of Minnesota. You know, he's telling me to follow up with Julie Allen, and I've been sending letters and emails, and Diane has sent, over the course of 20 years, she has sent, you know, different correspondence out to various officials for 20 years.
And Julie, tell Sarah that you did talk to U.S. Attorney Julie Allen on the telephone.
Yes, I spoke with Julie Allen probably about, I don't know, 4 weeks. She caught me off guard because we were out and it was not a good position. I had ice cream dripping down the front of me. She called when we were out for a ride and it was weird because it was after hours. And she just kept saying, I need someone to bring it to me. I need an investigator to bring this information to me for me to be able to investigate it. she seemed to be calling in good faith. Like she truly, you know,
so
wanted.
Did you bring stuff to her?
She said she needs an investigator to bring it to her. She said an FBI agent. And I said, well, we've taken it to an FBI agent. And he apparently, according to Richard Leonard from NCMEC, he had trouble getting Stearns County to allow the FBI in on this particular evidence. So, you know, I don't know how much involvement they had, if any, but we've been down that road. And he is not, Chris Bokers is sold on the Heinrich situation, on the Heinrich story.
And Sarah, that's very, think of how relevant that is, that U.S. Attorney Julie Allen is asking her, get an investigator to bring that to me. What that tells me is Julie Allen hasn't seen that evidence yet. And yet she's the one that did the plea bargain with Danny Heinrich.
Well, she did tell me that.
Well, I wouldn't. Okay, I'm sorry for a second. She's the one that did the plea bargain?
Yeah, I think, right?
How could you trust her?
Here's what I told her. Okay. And my first phone call a year prior to that, I was very disturbed. I was very upset when I spoke with her because I'm reading these warrants, and on the warrants, I'm seeing no human remains. And I know what Diane has, and I know what Larry has, and I've been over and over it. And I said, Julie Allen, you as a prosecutor, have you read the warrants? Did you read that there was no human remains? Did you compare the warrant findings to what Heinrich is saying in his transcript? I said, you as a prosecutor, did you do these things? Because you're telling me is investigated, but I'm seeing, I mean, Diane would know if it was investigated. Larry would know if it was investigated because they would need to be approached because they have further corroboration that backs up the tapes. Witnesses that back up the tapes, documentation that backs up the tapes. They have Lou Cole's lie detector test that he failed. So I'm telling her all this. Okay, so a year later, you know, she's calling me back after multiple phone calls to her office. And she's telling me that after she talked about the FBI, and I said, well, we went down that road. Then she started to say, any investigator needs to bring this to me. So she sounded like maybe she was thrown under the bus, possibly, like I wasn't informed. And I don't know what happened between that a year ago and then, why she didn't call me before that, or if she was just kind of trying to still wrap her head around it or whatever.
Why did you ask her, why would you give Heinrich a plea bargain that shaves off time off of another crime and then not prosecute him for this one?
Well, because I'm sure that she gave, she got the information and reports from the investigators, and they just read them and they go with it. They figure they're doing her job, I suppose.
It's a McDonald's drive-thru. Just cookie cutter, get it done, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, let's get out of here.
Yeah, well, yeah. And I reached out, away from here too many times, but I think what happened is they'd call down here and then they'd say, oh, we checked it out, nothing there, and that's the end of it every time.
They were lying.
So far from what we've read, which hasn't been much, because, you know, like I said, there's stuff, you know, that we just reviewed it. We reviewed what we can over a short period of time, and you know, there's a lot there. 40,000 pages, but obviously we don't need to go through all those pages. We can search Boehner or we can search Coles and see what's going on. And it appears to me like they're asking them questions, but the follow-up that needs to happen after that, I have not seen that so far.
It looks like the whole case, the 40,000, was like they wanted the whole case covered up.
Well, yeah, because I think this is going to lead back to some really big stuff, and this stuff would lead back to Jerry. I don't think they want any of that. If this comes out, the money stops. Who knows?